إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are on today. I want to start and talk about the story of Isa alayhi salam, but his story is intertwined with the story of his mother Maryam alayhi salam and with the story of his uncle Zakaria alayhi salam. And it's a beautiful story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in Surah Al Imran and in Surah Maryam and so on. And it begins with the dua of the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, the wife of Imran. And this Imran is this Imran is different, but also Harun is also mentioned in that, but that's not the brother of Musa alayhi salam. So the mother of Maryam alayhi salam made dua and said that, Ya Allah, if I have a child, I will dedicate this child to the masjid, which is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Today we are, as I speak, we are looking at one yet a new crisis in the history of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And of course, one does not have to be needlessly frightened and depressed with these things, because the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is superior to the plan of anybody else. And Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa has seen such crises and much, much worse crises, and all the people who created those crises have disappeared from the face of the earth. But the Masjid Al-Aqsa still stands. So today we see the crisis of Masjid Al-Aqsa, where it has been closed. It was locked up, I think, for a day or something, and after that it was opened with all kinds of conditions and so on and so forth. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa from the ghasibin who have illegally occupied it. So this dua of the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, she made this dua that, oh Allah, if I have a child, I will dedicate this child to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa for the khidmat and service of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And then she had a girl child. So she makes this dua. She said, Ya Allah, but now I have a girl. Now what do I do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this girl is not, Allah first says, Allah knows what you have, because Allah made this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this girl is not like any man, meaning that this girl is superior to and better than any other man who could have been born to you, meaning that this girl's superiority is much more than a son would have been. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dedicated this girl for his service. So when Maryam alayhi salam grows up and she is a little girl, the caretakers of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, one of whom is also her uncle, Zakaria alayhi salam, they draw lots to see who will take care of this girl, because she is a very Mubarak person, they know this, and she has been dedicated to the masjid. So Zakaria alayhi salam gets the responsibility of looking after Maryam alayhi salam. So Maryam alayhi salam, as a little girl also, she then moves into Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. She has her own room there, in which she spends most of her time in salah and in zikr. And Zakaria alayhi salam, when he would leave to go anywhere, he would lock the room from outside for her safety, because she's a small girl. And then he would come back and he would open the door, and he would find Maryam alayhi salam is in the room, and in the room are also all kinds of fresh fruit, and fruit which is out of season. So it's not even, you know, you can't even think that, okay, maybe somebody... First of all, how would anyone get the fruit into the room when the room was locked from outside, and she couldn't have opened the room from inside? But even whatever, you know, explanation you might have, but here is fruit which is not even in season, meaning that, you know, it's not even growing there at that time. And he would ask her, Ya Maryam, anna laki hadha, where did you get this from? And she would say, this is the fadal of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Meaning dillah. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send food for Maryam alayhi salam from Jannah. angels would bring food for her, and they would bring this out of season fruit for her. So Zakariya alayhi salam, when he sees this sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he decides, and this this beautiful ayat of Zakariya alayhi salam and his dua are in Surah Maryam, right in the beginning, where Zakariya alayhi salam then makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he's seeing the sign of what happened with Maryam alayhi salam. So here is a mu'jiza that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown, and Zakariya alayhi salam therefore makes dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this dua in detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Zakariya alayhi salam, when he was in his mihrab and he made this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in detail, and my understanding is to teach us how to make dua. So Zakariya alayhi salam begins by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and glorifying him, and then he says, O Allah, I am old and weak, and my hair has become white, and my bones have become weak, and my wife, she is beyond the age of childbirth. But O Allah, give me a waris, give me a son, give me an heir to carry forward my work. Now, Zakariya alayhi salam had no children, and he is making this dua for a child, for a son. And see the dua, this is the beauty, and this is the, as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to make dua by teaching us about this story of Zakariya alayhi salam. So three aspects to this dua. Firstly is to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to invoke His greatness and His power and majesty. Second one is to accept your own powerlessness and to say, Allah, I cannot do anything. I am weak, I am old, and in this case he was old, but even if you are not old, what can you do? So to accept your own powerlessness, to accept your own helplessness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is one of the biggest problems of us as human beings, that we become very arrogant in whatever Allah has given us. We even forget that Allah gave us that. We become arrogant thinking that this belongs to us. So if I have strength and health, I think this is mine. This is not yours, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can take it away in one instant. In one instant, you can be reduced to nothing. We have wealth, whatever we consider to be wealth. You know, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me all around the world, and I see people everywhere. And one of the things that I privately laugh at is the pretensions of people in the world. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows me wealthy people in one place, and all that they think is wealth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me to another place where He shows me the wealthy people there, whose servants have more than what these wealthy people have. So, you know, so where is this, what is this wealth? Now, in this city, for example, in Hyderabad, if somebody has 1 acre of land, you would call him what do you call him? 1 acre of land. We measure land here in square feet or square yards. Somebody's got 43,000. So, point is that he is considered to be a very, very, very wealthy man, right? I know people who don't have lands in acres. I know people who have lands in square miles. So, who is wealthy? So, the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, and we get arrogant in this, and we think, oh, this is mine. But the reality is, there were people who had even more than that. What was the size of the empire of Genghis Khan? 13 million square miles. 13 million square miles. An absolute ruler over it. To kill a million, he did. In Samarkand, he killed 1 million people in one day. Answerable to whom? Nobody on this earth. Only and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 1 million men, women and children were slaughtered in one single day. And Con Eagleton said they probably finished by about lunchtime. And no machine guns. Swords. Bang, 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 bang. Each one is at least one shot, at least. Right? All that power, today, there is not even a sign of Genghis Khan or the sign of his empire, nothing. John Mann, who's his biographer, the same guy who wrote this book on Salahuddin, absolutely must read these two books, Genghis Khan and Salahuddin. John Mann says, he went in search for the signs of it. Now his son built a city called Karakoram. The entire city has disappeared. Only thing that John Mann could find was a turtle-shaped pillar base. Not even the pillar base, shaped like a turtle. That is all that remains of the largest, the most powerful empire ever to exist on the face of the earth. The largest land empire ever to exist on the face of the earth. Ruled by one man, one single man. Absolute law. Nothing remains. This is the reality of life. And this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give the hukumat, did not give the control of this entire earth to any one person ever. No one ever had control of the whole earth. Even Genghis Khan, 13 million, that what is the size of the earth actually, much more than that. So the question of, control to one person, but even if you got control, even if you were somebody, even Sulaiman alayhi salam did not have control over the whole earth. Yeah, because the queen of Saba was there. So the point is that whether Nabi or good or bad person, Allah never gave control of this entire earth to any one individual. But the thing to understand is that even if you do get control of the entire earth, supposing you are king of the entire world and all that it contains, you are also king of the oceans and you are king of the sea, of the air, still you are king of something which is less than one grain of sand on a beach. So how big is that? How big is that? Compared to the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, who created everything. He created that beach and every grain of sand on that beach, and he created all the other beaches, and he created Allah knows what. Now this is the meaning of glorifying the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are thinking in terms of the greatness of Allah. And the second stage of dua is to own and accept your powerlessness. And the third stage of dua is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not keeping your powerlessness in mind, but keeping His glory and majesty in mind. So Zakariya alayhi salam is not saying, oh Allah, I'm old and weak and this and this and this, and I need a son, so please give me a second wife. No. He is saying, this is my situation. I am old. My wife cannot bear children, but I want a son. And he's not saying from the same woman, but that's what it means. And he's saying, what does it matter to you whether she is from, age of childbearing or no childbearing? You are the one, you can bring a pregnant camel out of a rock. What is a woman? What is childbearing, age, this, that? So when we make dua, for example, for somebody's illness, you don't say, this doctor said this and that doctor said that and this report and that CT scan. Who cares? Who cares? Alhamdulillah, all of this is good, so please go ahead and do it. But the point is that who cares? Because the one you are asking is the creator of everything. He is the creator of the disease and he is the creator also of the solution, of the cure. So what does it matter what any doctor said? This is the thing to remember and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with His majesty and grace, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, you give because only you can give. I'm asking you because only you can give. You have no limits to your khudrat, you have no limits to your creation, you have no limits to your power, you have no limits to what you can do. You don't have to ask anybody, you don't need anybody's permission, nothing. Give me because I'm asking you to give. Yeah, this is the way of making dua, and this is what Zakariya alayhi salam did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he says in this mihrab, nida an khafiya, small voice. In a small voice, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a man in the masjid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting, and the man came and he was making, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is not deaf. He said, your Rabb is not deaf. You don't have to shout like this. He said, make dua with dignity. Make dua with dignity. Why are you shouting? There's no need to shout. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hear you. Sometimes these people who, Amin bil Jahr, when people do after Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillah, it's one of the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But sometimes some people I hear, Ameen. Have some dignity in Salah. You're saying, Ameen, say it nicely, say it in a good way. I mean, you don't have to shout, Ameen. It's not going all the way to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your voice doesn't have to be raised to go to the arsh. Allah can hear you. So the issue of adab with respect to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with adab. And so therefore dua begins with adab, with accepting your own weakness, accepting your own problems, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with adab, rida and khafiya, small voice, and then asking Him in keeping with His grace and majesty. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make du'as which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us what we ask with afiyah, insha'Allah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmatullah.